Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we continue on in our series, Afflictions in the Life of a Christian. And we're looking at a special aspect, and that is our ministry to others. There are several passages found in the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, the 4th and 5th chapter, where we are exhorted to comfort ourselves together and edify one another. And that means to instruct or to enlighten, improve. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient to all men." So basically, the consolations that we receive from Jesus, the comfort, the strength, the deliverance, His ministry to us, because we have experienced His, quote, consolations, the way He comforts us, we are then able to reach out to others in perhaps a similar situation that we've been in at one point or another in our lives and effectively minister to them. So I was sharing there were eight categories I'm sharing found in the Word of God where we can minister to others. And what are those areas? Well, the persecuted, not only the persecuted church, but those who are under, you know, spiritual attack of the enemy, to the poor, spiritually as well as circumstantially, to the sick, to the tempted, those who are in special warfare and battle, to the troubled in mind. So many people are stressed and anxious and they don't know what way to turn, even Christians. And so how can we minister to these people? And I shared another category as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, and that was those deserted by friends. Psalm 27 and 10, "When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." And there's another reference, I won't read it, of Psalm 41 and 9. Where David is talking about his own familiar friend who lifted up his heel against him. And he says, "By this I know that thou favorest me," speaking to the Lord, "because my enemy doth not triumph over me." And so how can we minister to those in need? Well, first of all, spiritually, by prayer. That is an incredible, important ministry to be able to pray. The Holy Spirit will give you discernment, and sometimes you may or may not be able to find out specifics or details. That's all right. You can still pray. You can pray in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what that person, that loved one, that family member, that friend is going through. And also, of course, there are very practical ways you can minister. If someone is sick, what a blessing to, you know, bring over, depending on your relationship with them, bring over a casserole or something that will help them, or give a single mom a break by taking care of the kids. There's so many ways, creative, wonderful ways that you'll be able to minister to others. Now, there's a couple more categories I'd like to share with you. Again, giving scripture that reinforces what this comment is, and that is those who mourn for sin. Instead of someone, I mean, that's a wonderful thing, but many times people allow the enemy to so condemn them that they feel they're beyond repentance, beyond God's forgiveness, and we should be able to comfort them to say there's no sin that God cannot forgive. As with a repentant heart, there is, of course, the sin of blaspheming the Holy Ghost, but that's only for someone who really, they would have no concern about repentance or conviction. Psalm 51 and 17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And Isaiah 1:18, this is a powerful scripture. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Other references, I won't read them, are Isaiah 40:1-2, and Micah 7:18-19. And then also those who are up in years, those who are experiencing the infirmities of age. Psalm 71:9 says in a prayer, cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. Psalm 71:28, just a little further in that psalm. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have shewed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. The Amplified says, O God, forsake me not, but keep me alive until I have declared your strength to this generation, and your might and power to all that are to come. And so there are so many needs around, and we can help and comfort others by not only our prayers, by our testimony, but by practical intervention. And God is, the Holy Spirit is tremendously creative. He will speak to your heart. If that is really your desire, He will show you things that you can do. It may be a phone call. It may be sending a card. It may be doing something that would just be a blessing to them, and they will know that it's God's love reaching out to them through His people. And so it's a wonderful ministry that God has entrusted us with. So what are our duties and what are our responsibilities according to the Word of God to those who are suffering afflictions? Again, there's 8 points I'd like to share with you. We're to remember them, to bear them in mind. Hebrews 13:3 says, remember them that are in bonds. This is strictly, specifically speaking, to those who are persecuted, those who are being tortured for Christ behind prison bars. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. In other words, pray as fervently as if you yourself were in their state, in their condition. Let me read the whole without comment, just the way in its entirety. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. There's another scripture, I don't know exactly where it is, but you know, weep with those that weep, rejoice with those that do rejoice. We can share, when we support someone in that way, by with our heart, with our feelings, with our compassion, that is a tremendous ministry to them. Those who have lost loved ones, we don't really truly know how they feel. Let's never presume, well, I know just how you feel, because maybe we've had similarities of experience, but only the Lord knows exactly how they feel. And so to remember them, to comfort them. In Job 16:5, these were his reproving friends, but I would strengthen you, this is Job speaking, with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. In other words, if you were going through this difficult time, I wouldn't be tearing you down. I wouldn't be criticizing you. I would be finding something, strengthen you with my wealth. How do we strengthen? Of course, with the Word of God, anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit, His promises. And then to pity them. Now, that's a word, it's a scriptural word, but in today's word, it sort of has a negative connotation. What it actually means is sympathetic sorrow for the one suffering, the one distressed or unhappy. It's compassion. It's sympathy. You're relating. Job 6:14 says, to him that is afflicted, pity should be shewed from his friends, but he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. In other words, have compassion because you could be going through the same thing. Yeah, and judge not, lest ye be judged. And then, of course, we're to pray for them. In Acts 12:5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God unto God for him. And of course, the church was so astonished. There was Peter knocking at the door, and he was delivered supernaturally. And then James 5:14 to 16, this is very explicit and specific. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. In other words, in terms of the chastening of the Lord, God will raise them up spiritually, physically. And that's how important it is to pray for one another. And then, how else should we pray? To protect them. Psalm 82:3 says, defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy. That's, again, not only in terms of prayer, but in if God has us in a situation where we can practically and in some external way do that, well, then we are not to shirk that responsibility that God has showed us. And Proverbs 22:22, rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. Remember, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. All right, well, my time has just flown, and we will continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I know I am sharing a lot of scripture, but just even hearing the Word of God, there's a cleansing in the Word of God. That reminds me of something. I'll have to share it with you maybe next broadcast. I love you. I pray for you every day, my UCM partners, my radio family, and I do request and thank you for your prayers for me, because it's my heart's desire for a greater understanding and revelation and anointing to be able to minister to you. And through the correspondence ministry, I know God really blesses that. And so if you have a prayer need, or if you just would like to receive my monthly letters, I do not ask for finances. They are meant, those letters, to encourage, exhort, and uplift. So I invite you to get in touch. I'd love to meet some of you. I know you've listened, some of you, a long time, and you've not written. So if the Holy Spirit's moving on you, please obey. He's got a purpose and reason. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,